My mind's jumping all over the place tonight. Was it that coffee I had? Really, I'm kind of trying to pick up something in the spirit of what God wants to do. And we're not going to go long tonight. We're talking about worship. Talking about the fact that spirit needs to minister to spirit. But you know, there's another type of worship the Bible talks about. Do you know what it is? Turn to Romans chapter 12. You'll see there's another kind of worship that the Bible speaks about. Lord, as we go to your word for these few moments, I just pray that hearts would be open tonight, touched, to receive what you have. We honor you, we honor your word. Thank you, Jesus. This young man sitting over here with a yellow t-shirt on. Sorry. Yes, that's you. Would you mind just coming here for a moment? I just feel I want to pray for you. Oh, you're a lot taller when you stand up, eh? I should have stayed up there. Gee. Sorry, I don't know you. What is your name?
Andrew.
Can I stand on the platform? Can you all see me? I know you can see him. Andrew. Yeah, I just felt like there was a light rising up around you. And maybe it was a reflection of your t-shirt. Oh. I don't know. Are you cold, Andrew?
No, I'm hot.
Okay. You're hot now. You're nervous. You don't have to be nervous. I just saw this like a light just rising up around you. And I felt the Lord calling you back to Himself with a calling He put on your life as a very young man. And you were maybe grade one, grade two. Just God began calling you to Himself and calling you forward into His purposes in His kingdom. And I don't know, are you from Pinetown? And are you still at school? Mm-hmm. Okay. Very big, eh? To play rugby.
No.
And you know God's got more for you, eh?
Yeah.
Do you know that? And He's calling you to prepare yourself and to equip yourself. So I'm just being obedient to what I feel God saying to me, that even coming at you, you might feel you've been a little bit on the spot. But that's because you're going to be on the spot in more than one way in the future. God's going to put you on the spot because He wants to show through you something of His presence. And He's going to put you in spots and in places where you think, gee, what am I doing here? And God's going to say, but the reason I put you there was because no one else was available to this people or to this group or to this crowd. And I'm going to show through your life my goodness. And you're going to be a trophy. You're going to be a trophy. And even this calling out tonight, I just want to pray that, Father, you just seal this young man. Seal this young man, Lord. Put a hedge around him. Cause angels to be around him. Cause him to come into a very clear knowledge of the gospel. Cause him to have a very clear response from his lips about the faith that he has. I pray, Lord, just lift up your hands. Just open your hands and hold them like that. I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, would you just bring a fresh baptism. Fresh baptism of your fire, of your love. Fresh baptism. I pray for healing, Lord. And a gift of healing, and also healing in his physical body. Healing in his physical body. And if there's ever a time people spoke a physical curse over you in some sickness or some hereditary thing, but I tell you, it's broken over your life. And I believe that as you lay hands on others, you're going to see the presence of God, the power of God, the touch of God. Do you witness with what I'm saying? Is there anything you're feeling right now?
Yes.
What are you feeling, Andrew? Burning in your stomach. It's always a good thing. Sometimes starts in the stomach. A river starts in the stomach. And one of the prophets said, your word was sweet in my mouth, but it burnt. It was bitter. It was fire in my belly. Thank you, Andrew. Bless you. Yeah. I don't do that every Sunday, so you can come back again. All right. Are you from this church? I'm terrible. I apologize. The young people are out at Kloof tonight. They're up at Kloof. The band's performing. And a whole lot of the youngsters have gone to go support that. And Jamie's preaching. Fire! Fire, Lord! Amen. We were going to read out the Bible. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So we see there's another form of worship that the Bible speaks about here. This act of worship involves offering up our body. The Greek word there for body is body. It's sarx. It's the flesh. It's the body that you were born into this world with. And he starts off by saying, in view of God's mercy. So he's speaking to people who've received God's mercy. Have you tasted God's mercy in your life? His mercy and His grace. His compassion, His kindness, His goodness. Now because you've received that, the Bible says, now you offer up your bodies. The Bible says, any man who was united with Christ was crucified with Christ. You know, Jesus' crucifixion was your crucifixion. His death was your death. His burial was your burial. If you've received the mercies of God into your life and you've put your faith in Jesus Christ's death, burial and resurrection, a miracle took place whereby through faith you were saved. It wasn't something you earned. It wasn't something you were good enough to get. It was mercy. Mercy means you didn't get what you deserved. What did you deserve? A Christless eternity. What did we deserve? Even if we just had one sin in our life, we would have been eternally separated from a holy God. God couldn't come and live inside people that He only made 99% righteous. He had to come and make a tabernacle. He had to come and tabernacle Himself in temples that are perfectly made holy. So God made a covenant with Himself, and through that covenant, Jesus Christ came, shed His blood, that covenant was fulfilled, and you and I received mercy. Grace means we got something we didn't deserve. Mercy means we didn't get what we did deserve. Because of that mercy, He says, now, your body does not belong to you. What body is He talking about? He's not talking about the sinful nature, because the sinful nature was crucified with Christ and has been stripped off you. But He's talking about your physical body that you still have. You know, after you got born again, you woke up the next morning and you're still you. Okay, I know this is very deep. But that often happens. Someone will respond in faith to the message of the gospel. They are in the moment they put their faith in Christ, their spirit is made alive. And they wake up the next day. Sometimes you do feel a bit different. Sometimes you don't feel a bit different. And you quickly have to decide whether I'm going to be led by feelings or I'm going to be led by faith. And when you're led by faith, your faith is in God's word. That He who became sin in your place gave you the right to become righteousness. How many sins did Jesus have to commit to be sinful? None. He was made to be sin. How many acts of righteousness did we have to do to be declared righteous? None. That is the miracle of the new birth. We are made completely new creations in Christ. That is the mercy of God. All the religions in the world are aiming for the same thing, and that is self-improvement. Trying to get a bit better, so you can then compare yourself. Well, I don't do this and that, and I don't go with girls who smoke and chew, and you do. And I don't do this, and I don't do that. And religion is comparative. That's why they call it comparative world religions. Christianity is not a religion. It's a covenant. Where God said, when my son died, if you put your faith in that, that's your death. So hello, if you've been baptized, welcome to your own funeral service. Hopefully they held you down long enough and shook some bubbles out. And if you've never been water baptized, put your hands up. Quickly take a photograph. You need to be water baptized. Why? Because it makes a declaration that boasts about the gospel. Because as you go under the water, you are showing your identification with Jesus' death and burial. And when you come up out of the water, you are making a praise to His resurrection. And it's a great way to witness and to explain the gospel to unsaved loved ones, families and friends. Amen. And if we believe God's word, then we obey God's word. Simple as that. Okay. So, therefore, because you've received mercy, in view of God's mercy, I like that term, in view. It means I'm looking at something. I'm helping you tonight to look at something. I'm helping you to look at the fact that God has shown you mercy. In view of God's mercy, you're viewing it. Now, your body belongs to Him. But you're dead. Because when Jesus died on the cross, you died on the cross. That was your sinful nature. But when you woke up the next day after you got born again, you're still in the same body. And this is the body. Go like this. Okay, this is the body. Yeah, that's the one. This is the body that we bring as a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they brought goats and birds and sheep once a year, and they had an animal sacrifice. But we are now living sacrifices. Maybe it's more difficult because if it's dead, at least it stays on the altar, but when it's alive, it wants to wriggle off. Hello? Anybody out there? You're making my job very difficult tonight. Please smile at me like you. Okay. Now, all this is wonderful. Except we left with the question, how do I do this? And I want to read the next verse. I believe herein is a key that helps us understand how we do this part of our worship, which is my body belongs to Him. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will. So therein is a key. Who's here this morning? Okay, a good percentage of us. So you'll be on the same page now. Say after me, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Now that's an important principle in understanding how this all works. Is because anyone who's in Christ is a brand new creature. Brand new creation. And that's the job of the Word, is to renew your mind so that you begin to fully understand who you are. And that makes preaching a whole lot better and easier, because we're supposed to be preaching New Testament realities to our mind, who we are, who we really are. The fact that we've been made righteous, the fact that we are in Christ, the fact that We've been declared holy by God Himself. That's good enough, you know. Now, I have a soul, which part of my soul is the me that's not the me, it's the mind, which has got some unrenewed issues still to deal with. Our minds have still got to be renewed. Old thinking habits, old pretexts, old information that slowly, as we sit under the ministry of the Word, our minds begin lining up. And if I'm one third soul, then I'm also in a body, which is my five sense vehicle to negotiate in a physical world through taste, touch, smell, all that. Now, why is all this so important to understand? I'm so glad you asked the question. Because if my soul comes into agreement with my recreated spirit and who my recreated spirit is, then I've got a majority against the flesh. Because the flesh is still a part of me that can be tempted. It's a part of me that can still, it's neutral, it can choose to go, and it goes with the majority. And if my soul begins to come into alignment of who I really am in the spirit, my body will follow suit. And that's the importance of verse 2, that we don't be transformed just into this sense realm and get locked up in what the Bible calls a carnal Christian life. Carnal just means five senses. I don't just get locked up in a see, taste, hear, smell Christianity, but that sixth sense God has given me, which is my spirit being able to connect by faith with God's spirit. When that happens, my body becomes His vehicle. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If God's word says adultery, stupid, bad, destructive. If my renewed mind comes into agreement with my new spirit, who does, you know that the real you doesn't want to commit adultery? The real you, in fact, 1 John says, that born again part of you cannot sin. That's the holy part. It's God's spirit in you. If I sin, it's because my mind has believed a whole lot of lies, and it's then gone majority with the flesh. And then the flesh follows. Becomes two-thirds against one third. But when my mind agrees with God's word on an issue, the real you, your spirit, understands generosity. Understands Jesus' words, it's more blessed to give than receive. But the mind has a problem. Because the mind doesn't always understand that. And it does its own economics. But the moment the mind comes into agreement with my recreated spirit, what happens? My body? So that's why it's so important to understand this renewing of the mind, how it affects my physical body. My physical body won't stay on the altar of worship very long if my mind is not in agreement with who I really am in the spirit. That's why knowing who you are in the spirit is the most important part of your Christian maturity. You know that even Jesus had to grow in these things. Jesus, who was perfect and holy, it says, and He grew in wisdom and understand. He grew in grace. So Jesus, at 3 years old, what percentage was Jesus? 100%. But as He grew, He never became more Jesus. He was always Jesus. But He just had to grow in favor with men and God. He grew. So, although we receive mercy, which has made us 100% in His likeness, Our spirit is a twin brother with Jesus. Just because you're 3 years old doesn't make you any less than Jesus in your spirit. I'm not saying you're Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. But He's given you His spirit lives in you. And it's the same spirit. It's exactly the same spirit living inside of you. And when our educated idiot box, yeah, that's this, begins to be renewed to who I really am, I then live as a living sacrifice. Now, you see, the wrong interpretation of that is to say, okay, well, my body has got to be a living sacrifice. Therefore, I have to force it to do certain things. Well, if you've got to force it to do certain things, you'll only force it for so long before it starts rebelling. Don't put your hand in the cookie jar. Hand in the cookie jar. Principle. I spoke this morning three things. I'm going to close now, so I can't go into it. But I spoke about three indications of an unrenewed mind. Because while we should be preaching on how to renew our mind, it's helpful to understand what an unrenewed mind is. Can anybody help me? What was the first one? Self-righteousness. That's the first sign of an unrenewed mind. Thinking that I achieve righteousness. We don't achieve righteousness by what we do or do not do. You receive righteousness based on what Jesus did. And every blessing we receive now is based on our righteousness that we have as a gift. And that keeps us humble. The moment we think our good things we do or bad things we don't do is in some way makes us a certain level, then we have drifted into self-righteousness. And that's an indication of an unrenewed mind. What was the second one? Self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency is a feeling that it's a carnal belief system that somehow, how did I write it? It's up in my notes. Don't worry, I'm not going to get to it now. But it's believing that the things that I have in my life is somehow based on what I achieved, and then those very things start keeping me from the one who actually gave them to me in the first place. And that self-sufficiency. And we, you know, get to a place of, I am. Thanks for helping me, eh? All you that you have this morning. So self-sufficiency is that feeling of, you know, I can kind of, you know, it's great to have God and it's great to have the church, and but pretty much, you know, I'm a man out there in the real world and I've done it my way. You know, and God gave me some gifts, but I used those to make it work. And it looks great at first until the storms of life come. And spinning plates. And things start falling apart. Then we discover where our real source is coming from. Is it from our own sufficiency or is it from God's sufficiency? And the amazing thing is that when trials come, and you know that even Christians go through them, it's not the cold water that brings out the color of the tea bag. The tea bag is going to be put in hot water. And sometimes a little bit of life's everyday pressure and suffering and hardship quickly reveals where my source is. But He does it for a reason. And we looked at in 1 Corinthians, at least in 2 Corinthians this morning, where Paul said, these things happened so that I wouldn't rely on myself, but on God who raises the dead. Remember that? Let's read it again. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. Paul wasn't in sin. This hardship that he was going through wasn't his doing. It was just life happening to him. Far beyond our ability, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. There's something about when you come into that place of humility and total dependence on God, that suddenly he becomes more real than anything else. An unrenewed mind will somehow miss that opportunity and think, I have something to do with it. And then thirdly, self-centeredness. And that is the root of most of our issues and problems. And an unrenewed mind will exhibit a lot of self-centeredness, because that's how we came into this world. I mean, as babies, we were taught very well from a very young age to be self-centered. It's just a problem if we still like that at 40. Jesus' disciples, he said to them, it's for your benefit I'm going away. If I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. So don't grieve. They were grieving because he told them that he was going to leave. You see, most of our grieving is for ourselves. They missed the whole point of his going was going to be better for them. Can we really believe that about God? That he never takes away something without a full intention of putting something far more significant back in its place? If we would just believe that, and we take our eyes off ourselves and put them on him and ask him for an opportunity to be a blessing to other people, we'd get over our selfishness just like this. A selfish mindset is one that's always asking, what's in this for me? What does this make me look like? If I get up there, and what will this make me look like? What will people think of me if I say that? If I'm not there, what will they say? You know, this church, what's it going to do for me? How's this church going to benefit me? Why isn't this church doing more for me? My wife, I thought it was supposed to benefit me. Well, she's not doing enough for me. I think I'll trade her in for two, half her age. And then you take yourself with you into that. I mean, you must be crazy. It's taken 25 years to train up a wife in the way she should go. Now you're going to go all the way back. I wouldn't let her go for anything. But an unrenewed mind is selfish. I love you, baby. I need you. You do it for me, baby. Please don't leave me, baby. It's self-centered. And life, if we're really honest and we look around us, an unrenewed mind is reflected in the fact that we always, it's about me and mine and I and how's this going to make me look? How's it going to affect me? Now don't get all discouraged now, please. In view of God's mercy, our bodies are a living sacrifice. Part of our worship is our bodies, and what we do with our bodies, our physical bodies. But what we do with our physical body is connected to how much of my mind's being renewed to who I really am in the Spirit. And all I'm doing today is opening a little bit of a window saying, let's be honest about some stuff so we can see, Lord, I haven't arrived yet. But at least I've left. And it's 7:40, and I said I'd let you go early. Can we stand up together? I'm going to just say to you, let me stand up so that Andrew can see me up here. Father, we just thank you tonight for this time of worship we had, and we pray for many more times where we'll just come into your presence and abandon ourselves, abandon what we think a meeting should look like, abandon what we think it should go like, and just be ready to say, Jesus, come and be Lord. Come and presence yourself among us. And Lord, as the prophetic words come, as prophetic ministry comes, as we come out to the front to have hands laid on us, or run around the church, or pack the chairs away, whatever we do, I pray, Lord, in those times that we come together to make space for you to move, I pray that our lives will continue to be transformed as we learn to worship you, as we engage you in our spirits. And Lord, even tonight, as I've shared this word, that part of our worship is also the fact that our bodies belong to you. And they're here to be a delight to you. You've already made them holy. You've already given us your righteousness. You've already proved yourself as our all sufficiency and the one who provides for us and puts food in our stomachs and clothes on our bodies. How much more, Lord, we just know your goodness. If you care for the birds of the air and the flowers and the gardens, how much more we know you care for us. And Lord, tonight I just want to pray for people who are here who may be living in some kind of fear around the challenges they face, employment, health issues. And I just want to pray right now, Father, for faith just to rise up in people's lives standing here tonight. I just pray for confidence that comes by your Spirit, that you are our sufficiency. That even in these things where we find that we are brought to the end of ourselves, we will discover your provision and your care and your hope. I pray right now, Lord, for faith for the impossible. And Lord, if there's anyone standing here tonight who's not sure as to their relationship with you, maybe not sure that they've been born again, or maybe not sure where they stand tonight, I pray, Spirit of God, would you come right now and just tenderize on the inside. Just tenderize them on the inside with your love from tonight. And Lord, give them a heart to call out to you. Give them the ability. You give us the faith that we need to respond. I pray for that faith, saving faith tonight, to be given to us. I'll just pray a short prayer. And if you're unsure about where you are with the Lord, maybe you could just follow it in your heart with me right now. Father God, I thank you for the mercy that you've extended to me through Jesus Christ. That his blood that was shed was in place of my sin. And that you have offered me the gift of righteousness through faith in what Jesus did for me. I pray that my spirit would be made alive to you. And over the next few months of my life, my mind will come into agreement with the wonderful miracle you've done in my spirit. And the result of that will be that in spirit, soul, and body, I will worship you. Amen.